Hi, ladies and gents. Welcome to tonight's Trinity Tims. We've got a wee change in the personnel tonight. Eric is not here, and so we're joined by Baz from One Celtic Fans View. And as per usual, I'm James Forrest from the Celtic blog, and we're here with Joe McHugh of Video Celts. Well, there's only one real subject to talk about tonight, and I mean, let's face it, there's only one real place to start, and that is Friday. Friday might be the most unbelievable day that I've ever witnessed as a Celtic fan. To get up in the morning and read that the manager had been attacked in the Sun, third hand, it has to be said, and they still botched it, was bad enough, and I was already in a pretty angry place when I read that. And then early evening, to get Celtic's deranged statement, it was the kind of day that if the Ibrox Cup had done it, would have gave us all material for weeks, if not months. To see your own club doing it to itself is pretty extraordinary. And then over the next couple of days, you got the fan reaction to their reaction, which has put us all in a better mood and put us all in a better place. Now, at the risk of sounding gloating about that, I want to point something out. We're not talking about it in terms of the way some people on certain Celtic forums and blogs are talking about it, that we are happy to see, you know, the club roiled in controversy and crisis. We're happy because the fans have come together at last. And the fans have said no more of this. And the unity among the supporters is incredible. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that either. To have already got 400 separate fan organisations, whether it's supporters, buses, blogs, podcasts, all lined up, all carrying the same message, is pretty unbelievable and really inspiring. And then the big guns got rolled out at the weekend when the CSA membership passed a motion of no confidence. The affiliation followed, the Irish affiliation followed them. And so, as for the first time probably since the 1990s, we've got the whole support speaking in one voice. And even the 1990s didn't have anything like this, because this is the first time that the association has ever passed a no-confidence motion in the Celtic board, and they did it unanimously, which is absolutely phenomenal. So I'm going to pass on to Joan. He can tell you what he thinks before we go on with the discussion proper.
A quick correction in your timeline. You mentioned Friday was an incredible day. Saturday was an incredible day. Friday was a great day for Michael Nicholson. Teen Biscuits invites
some... Biscuits day Friday, you're right.
Invite some supporters, delegates along. Tell them they're great Celtic guys. Tell them that you value their support so much. Patronise them to the nth degree. Roll out various excuses. The excuses we could all... The only excuse that wasn't rolled out was nobody will sign because of uncertainty over the future of Brendan Rodgers. I'm sure that excuse will soon be getting rolled out to the messengers. So Michael Nicholson, well, the strange thing, on Friday while he was having his tea and biscuits, he must have been aware that somebody very close to him was speaking to the Sun that day. And they were putting the book big time into Brendan Rodgers. So while Nicholson was a sort of appeal for unity and all pulled together and we're all in this together, lads, someone inside Celtic had agreed that on Saturday morning, put the boot into Brendan Rodgers. He's the root of all the problems. And I mean, that was bonkers stuff. We can almost overlook that Dyson Maeda was probably promised a transfer deadline day transfer. Play against Kyrat Dyson, centre forward. Play Ibrox Dyson, centre forward. And then you can go the next day. And then next day, sorry, Dyson. So he'll not be trusting them. But the stuff in the Sun was outrageous. One of them was a claim that Rodgers was off the record briefing against Celtic. This from the anonymous Celtic source. So that was classic. No Celtic manager has ever questioned the strategy. Absolute nonsense. There was a tweet the other week. The guy highlighted Ange Postecoglou, Rodgers first time around, Neil Lennon and Ronnie Dyla, all questioning the way Celtic do business. We know they get lucky last season when they did Champions League place booked and Engels, Trusty and Ida all came in and did well in the Champions League. Much to the despair of those that are going on about the transfer fees. But the slaughtering of Rodgers was absolutely outrageous. The Sun was at Celtic Park on Saturday for the Legends match. So clearly the Sun has not gone off message. The Sun hasn't gone rogue. The Sun welcomed information. And Roger Hanna is no friend of Celtic. If they were looking for a Celtic-friendly journalist at the Sun, it would have been David Creel. So they put the boot into Brendan Rodgers, and then 8:30, 8:45 at night comes this, the worst statement of the season. No matter what they got up to Ibrox this season, there won't be anything to surpass that. So that statement was horrendous. Again, it patronised. We had a great meeting with the lads from the association, the affiliation, and the Irish clubs, and we're all on this together. We explained what's gone wrong, and to come up with financial fair play as some sort of issue and handicap to Celtic, that's one hell of a stretch. Somebody said Celtic are the poster boys of financial fair play, of financial sustainability. No one is more cautious and terrified of it than Celtic. If every club operated like Celtic, UEFA could bin their financial sustainability because Celtic work it absolutely perfectly. I think within an hour, folk had dug up Swiss Rambo and others. I think the previous two seasons, let's see, season 22-23 and then 23-24, Celtic had about £20 million of headroom, and they've still been within the 70% ruling. So that was nonsense. Everything in the statement was nonsense. And then it all kicked off. I think the tweet alone has been viewed more than 4 million times. There's more than 3,000, I think there's about 3,500 comments on it. So in marketing terms, it was absolutely incredible, but not for the right reasons. And then it was good. The association news, I think you scooped that, James. You must have had an inside man at that meeting. And then the affiliation of Irish supporters clubs, they came out with it. And then this morning we got the registered club. So if there's a definition of a perfect storm, on Friday morning, nobody could have got close to scripting what was going to come out at Celtic over the next couple of days. The next couple of days are going to be very interesting as well. So those involved in the statement, they've been contacting folk, questionnaire, getting a few details to see what sort of course of action. But the thing is, they are incredibly well organised, and that's because they've got a bit of interest in it. None of them are getting paid. There's no one in it for financial gain, unlike our £1 million a year chief executive. The statements put out by the Celtic Supporters Association, by the Irish supporters clubs, and the affiliation of registered clubs were first class. They were what statements are meant to be. Short, fairly sweet, a little bit of detail and to the point. And you compare that to Celtic's statement. So Michael Nicholson must have known about that statement. Who knows if it was AI generated or not, but he knew about it. We've got a communications manager. He's been in the job 25 years, so he should be getting quite good at it. And his name is Ian Jameson. I wouldn't be surprised if Jameson had the weekend off, but he really ought to have known about that statement going out. He ought to have known about who was speaking to the Sun. And the statement from Celtic was a dog's dinner. It was horrendous. It was an own goal. So incredible stuff. The interesting bits are still to come. But in terms of self-destruction, congratulations, Michael Nicholson, and your mentor, of course, Chairman Lowell. Cheers.
Nicely put, Joe. Baz, welcome to the show, mate. It's good having you on here.
How do you follow that up? That's as some people say, that was a sniper on the roof and he didn't miss. It's been a very interesting weekend. It opens up lots of conversation, and it will be interesting to see what the outcome of the meeting is on Wednesday. We're basically sitting on the Monday night now. We're in a lull period. It's as if we're going into battle at this point. And the generals are sitting amassing the troops And they'll see us as the engines, whilst at Celtic Park, they're getting the wagons circled and they're bringing in everyone that they can that is of a friendly nature to make sure that the modern day battle that's done through PR and social media, you've got to remember, Celtic say that the fan media are part of the problem, that we don't put out the correct information. Sometimes the fan media that go to Celtic Park don't even acknowledge that they've been to Celtic Park. So it's going to be an interesting few days, and whatever happens on Wednesday, I just hope that over the next week, you've got the big day on Wednesday, whatever comes out of that, and then there will be a player put up to be told to speak to the media on Thursday, and then Friday it'll be Brendan Rodgers' turn. And that, I will predict that that will be a 23-minute Celtic video, and 22 minutes of it will be about what's happening just now and nothing to do with the game this weekend. That's my Mystic Meg moment of the week.
I think you're probably right, mate. And they're going to replay Brendan's comments for a couple of weeks ago. Yep. Over and over again, this is a board that bleeds Celtic.
Yes.
Although perhaps not in the context that a lot of people think he meant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's have a guard first about Friday, right? Because I had a good heads up about a lot of what was going on Friday. And what I thought was interesting about it was the way the Celtic statement on Saturday tried to spin it, that there had been some kind of like consensus reached and everybody was happy with what they heard and everything had been properly explained. And then one after the other, the organisation said, no, we're not happy. Because that's one of the things that wasn't in the association statement. The association membership explicitly repudiated Celtic's claim that it had been all congenial and all congenial and all very nice.
Yeah.
And since then, all three organisations that went there all refused that it was resolved and that everything had gone nicely and Celtic and them had come to understandings and whatnot. Really incredible. It reminds me a lot of that fan forum meeting that we heard about where Michael Nicholson was supposed to have talked about meetings that had taken place between various groups who were in the room and yeah. They were all like, that's not what happened. What? What means? We won't hear any means. So and these people just think they can pull the wool over your eyes again and again and again. It's I don't know how they ever thought they were getting away with that. These guys will try anything. These guys will stoop to anything. And I think there's got to be a lot of backlash. There's got to be a lot of briefing against people and whatnot. I'm sure in the next couple of weeks, as the board tries to settle some scores and whatever. So flak jackets on, guys, and tin hats. Be prepared for whatever they try and do. What's really important to note about Friday is that the three associations, for reasons known to themselves, didn't all go in at the same time. I thought they'd made a major mistake in not doing that. I also thought that they had made a mistake in not balloting their members first.
Yeah.
Because I said in an article about it, if you go in there, as a representative of a mass movement that is basically saying enough is enough, you have got a lot more weight than if you go in there as just, I'm here to represent the association and we don't have a position on this, we're just here to listen to what you've got to say. But it turned out that the board's advantage there, they squandered it themselves with the statement that they made. It might be the most unbelievably self-destructive thing I've seen at any football club in Scotland, apart from the one across the city. This is the second time this summer that they've been unfairly compared, that they've been compared negatively to the club across the city. That should be keeping them awake at night. You've got clubs complaining about their unprofessionalism, their transfer dealings, as compared to dealing with Sevco. And now you've got fan groups saying that's the kind of statement they would have released. So I think a lot of people in Celtic board want to think about that for a wee while. But Friday, I thought the idea of the clubs went in there separately, that none of them had already balloted their members to decide what they were going to say. I thought that was a mistake, and it turned out that the board nullified even that mistake. And that was a major strategic error and could have been played to their advantage. And they squandered it on Saturday night. I don't know who gave them advice before they released that. I don't know what kind of expertise is in the building. But, I mean, you might be right, Joe. Maybe Ian Jameson had the weekend off or something, but It certainly wasn't the kind of communique you expect for a professional organisation that had sat down and thought about what it was going right. Absolute madness.
They're in their own little bubble. They're in their own world. It's like politicians, everyone telling you how wonderful you are. You're fantastic. So there's no one that had been critical. I mean, we haven't mentioned John Paul Taylor. I think John Paul Taylor was in at the meetings on Friday. Yeah. I am certain that if John Paul Taylor had seen that statement in advance that says, for God's sake, whatever you're doing, forget it, bin the whole lot, delete. But they wouldn't, he's a bit too much of a commoner for them, and he's also a Celtic supporter, so that's probably a problem. But the other issue is how much of the statement was AI generated. I mean, it just had that feel to it. A few folk have analysed it and told you different percentages that it's AI, but it's completely out of touch. But it's no surprise. And James, you're talking about circling the wagons. I don't think they're sophisticated enough to mount this. I mean, you'll get firefighters and PR agencies in London that will come in and tackle any cause for any company, and they'll go for it. But Celtic are so detached, and anyone outside of Peter Lowell is going to be treated with contempt. Only Peter Lowell will be listened to. So Lowell, Nicholson and Jameson, it's some combination. They've got no reality among Celtic supporters. They've got absolutely no humility. I mean, everything in that statement was about how all these others, social media, legacy media, other clubs, agents, players, UEFA, everyone had it in for Celtic, and they tried their best. They were working non-stop to get things done. So I don't think they're sophisticated enough. Unless Dermot Desmond gets on the phone and says, I hear there's a wee bit of difficulties, I'm going to send over one of my top PR teams, and Jameson can take more than the weekend off. He can take the rest of the month off. But I don't think they're clever enough to know how to deal with things. I mean, one instance of that was back in May after the game at Ibrox, when they put Vils Sinisalo up the following Friday to the media. So he had a good game at Ibrox. That was quite good. But it all went wrong when he was asked about what happened to him at Ibrox, and he told them about 30 to 40 missiles had been thrown at him. So that's how out of touch they are. So if you were smart, you might have realised there's a small possibility that Sinisalo might be asked about objects thrown at him during the Glasgow derby. I mean, I don't think he was set up for it. It wasn't a roundabout way, and he just came and talked freely about it. So I'll be interested in what player. I suppose it'll be one of the new signings. How lucky are we with our new signings? So one of the new signings we put up, maybe that I don't even know the guy's name, but the left back from Uruguay that came in from Boca Juniors, he could be put up to talk about how excited he is about the challenge.
I don't think the English is that great.
I was going to say through an interpreter. So that screws that line. But the player is an absolute sideshow, because Brendan Rodgers, and he's had more than a week to take this all in. He'll be pretty measured. He'll know what's coming. And the thing that fascinates me is how he treats the son. So the son will be on the invite list. There might be two fan media outlets there, but the son will be there. It would be great if Roger Hanna of the Sun went along after taking that briefing from someone inside Celtic. I suspect Roger Hanna will take Friday off. Someone from the Sun will be along there, and I would love it if Brendan Rodgers singled that person out, or at the media conference says, before you ask a question, let me know who you work for, who you're representing. And when the question comes in from the Sun, Brendan Rodgers can be ready with quite a few questions for the guy from the Sun. So I don't think Celtic are sophisticated to deal with this. I'm incredibly impressed by the way the Green Brigade, North Curve, have organised this. The Green Brigade are quite keen to make it clear it is not them. They're not particularly driving it. There's others in the Trust, others in the Boys, and I think some other grouping. So the statement came out under North Curve, but there's others closely involved. It's not the Green Brigade looking for attention. So
no, it's not.
They've worked together very, very well, whereas The lazy salaries inside Celtic have made a complete dog's dinner of it, and I'll be surprised if they can dig their way out of this. I mean, to leak that story about Rodgers to the Sun and then follow up with a bonkers statement on Saturday night is it's detached. So it'll be absolutely fascinating viewing, and I suspect the supporters' groups are a few steps ahead of the club. It'll be interesting what options they've got for action. Again, they're very imaginative and creative. There'll be ways of doing things, ways of raising the message.
Yes, there will be.
Whereas at Celtic, the thinking is, let's see, we'll go to a newspaper and we'll trash Brendan Rodgers. It might have worked in the 1990s. It might have worked in the early 2000s. Yeah. But in 2025, folk are clued up. Folk can put two and two together. And if they can't put two and two together, other people put two and two together for them. Yeah. And the Celtic support know that there's forces inside Celtic working against Brendan Rodgers, and working against Brendan Rodgers is working against the team, working against success, and you need to do some incredible work to get yourself out of that.
It all points the finger to Peter Lowell. Let's face it. It's the Peter, the statement screamed out to me, the Peter Lowell book of marketing from the late 90s to the early 2000s. It was all, you know, it was just the type of thing that just screamed. It's got his name all over it, if you ask me. Now, he could sit and say whatever he wants about us, but there's nothing that's going on at the club right now that is Nicholson turning around and getting the okay from Peter. There can't be. And if there is, well, that just, it confounds the support's rhetoric that these people need to go. It's simple as that. But then it comes to play devil's advocate on the whole thing is, what is the end game? Do you know what is the end game? Is it to get rid of Nicholson? Is it to get rid of Mackay? We're not going to get rid of Dermot Desmond. That's never going to happen. You know, so what is the agenda and what is the achievable outcome by the fans? I mean, that's where we're at now. So that's the difficulty that I see over the next week.
Yeah, the statement, as you pointed out, statement read like one of Peter Lowell's contemptuous answers at the AGM.
Yeah,
how
exactly.
Dare you question me? Rattle off. How lucky you are to have me at your club. Don't you realise all the good things I've done for you? It reeked of that statement.
What I will say, in terms of what we're talking about with the Green Brigade guys, the level of sophistication that's been shown on our side of this as opposed to their side is night and day. You think that it was the Celtic fan groups who were working with professional PR people the way every single aspect of this has been handled. I mean, the statement that the Green Brigade released today announcing the meeting on Wednesday, part of the reason for that meeting is that they're now in a position where they're moving from a letter setting out certain demands to a position of no confidence in the Celtic board. That's a shifted position. But because if 400 different organisations have signed the initial letter, they cannot and will not speak for those 400 organisations any further than what they've already done. Now each of those organisations has to get back to them again and say, we support a vote of no confidence. And that is a level above and beyond what you normally expect from fan groups that are disorganised or haven't thought this through. And everybody will have to think it through, by the way, right? I mean, it's easy as a knee-jerk reaction to say we've no confidence in the Celtic board, but you really need to think about that. Because if we're maintaining that position, then this is no longer we have a set of demands. There's one demand, you guys are done. Right, and however it turns out, that's the logic of the position. You guys are finished. You guys don't have a legitimacy. You don't have a mandate any longer. You're over. And so we're going to transition this club for a new phase, for the one where you're in it to one where you're not in it. And that phase, by the way, will take time. And fans will need to be understanding about the fact that it could take a while. That it could take... we need an executive directorship at Celtic to run things right. But these people should be looking for their replacements right now. They should be. And any accountable organization, once you have a vote of no confidence like that, you should be looking for your replacements. And that's a process, and a process like that will take time, and we'll need to be very understanding about that. But everybody is going to need to think about this very clearly. A vote of no confidence says you guys are finished. It's not a negotiation after this. We've moved past the point of just talking about these are the things that we want you to change. The thing we want you to change is get the fuck out of those seats and let somebody else sit in them. And that's the difference. And the Green Brigade's grasped that difference straight away in all its various nuances. And the meeting on Wednesday will be really interesting. Everybody who buys into this will need to know and will need to understand clearly that that is what they are doing. That this is not about any longer reform or get out. It's about get out and then we'll reform. And that is a different ballgame. Joe.
James, don't give away too many secrets.
The Celtic
board view the Green Brigade as a bunch of wee diddies with Palestine flags and pyro. So it'll come as a shock of their life that there's a bit more sophistication behind it. And I'm remembering, I think it was Matt McGlone on possibly the Celtic Exchange, but he was getting asked about the events of 1993-1994. I think it was I'm pretty certain the guy called Hugh Pym, who was the ITN Scottish correspondent at the time. And he made contact with Matt McGlone and says, who is it that's doing your PR for you? He says, nobody, we're doing it. So, that was picketing outside the Bank of Scotland in Glasgow City Centre, various other things. There was a few sympathetic ears in the old legacy media. One of them was James Traynor at the Herald. Hugh Keevans at the Scotsman was also quite sympathetic. One or two others, but not many. But the Radio Clyde phone-in was a great avenue for them. That allowed a lot of publicity. But it's great if the... I didn't know much detail of it, but just on the surface, it appears very sophisticated. The Green Brigade had a statement out within half an hour or an hour, commenting on the Celtic statement about how patronising it was. It might have been patronising contempt. So they're a good few steps ahead. But as you say, they need to get a mandate, and there'll be a variety of views among supporters. I think the biggest one is Europa League. There are some supporters that will be determined to go there, to sit in their seat, and they think that... If I'm though in my seat, then Arne Engels or Yang or whoever is going to be short of their best in these Europa League ties. I would say forget the Europa League. Europa League is irrelevant. It's going to impact on our season. A year ago, we would have been a great Europa League team. We are now an average Europa League team. Out of 36 teams in the Europa League, I would think we are somewhere about 24, 25, 26, and it's really not worth the bother, either for supporters to be paying money or for the players to be exerting themselves. Our more important matches will be every Sunday to stay ahead in this league, and that is all important. I think Brendan Rodgers will subconsciously be thinking along those lines. The way he named the squad for the Champions League the way he named the squad the Europa League suggests that he's got bigger battles to face. So I would say concentrate on the league, protests around Europa League matches. And as I said, I think there'll be some innovative ways that the Green Brigade will raise their profile and make things known. And I suppose they're probably aware that Dermot Desmond will probably be playing in the Alfred Dunhill Cup at St Andrews later this month. I don't know the dates of it, but I think he won it last year, so he'll almost certainly be playing this year. So if there's any golf fans out there amongst the Green Brigade in the St Andrews area, you might want to go along and see how Dermot's getting on at the golf. And if he misses a short putt, some polite applause etc., etc. If
you're not in the St Andrews area, you might want to clear your diary for that day and go anyway.
There's a good Celtic supporters club up in St Andrews, so they'll have it well covered. And then you've got all the ones you've got leaving. You've got the Kennedy boys, got Kirkcaldy with the Joseph Rafferty. So Logelli. So there's about what, 8, 9, 10 buses in the Fife area. I'm sure that they will send some people up.
Yep, so there's options, but the Green Brigade, they're sharp and alert to it, going by their public, but their Twitter content so far. So I'll shut up for a few minutes and let you go on with it, Baz.
Hi, Baz. I just want to ask you a question, and, yes. And Joe, you can answer it after them, right? You guys are 100% right. Rodgers should be concentrating on the domestic campaign. Are we in trouble domestically, Baz? How do you see this season going? The club seems to be in a fair bit of turmoil. Brendan's been seriously undermined now by the board.
Yeah.
And, I mean, to an outside eye, it might seem as if to some people that they're even trying to force him to quit at this point by putting as much pressure on him as they can. So how difficult is the domestic season looking for you?
In all honesty, when we got to the end of the window, I thought, forget about a treble. Focus on the league. I think that Brendan Rodgers will rally the troops. The video that went out today with Celtic, the players, the manager was jovial. They were all happy, you know. And I think that there could be, I've said for a long time that there's a power struggle going on at Celtic. And I was told, no, there's not. No, there's not a power struggle. And I called this out way before December. I said, there's a power struggle going on. And it all leads to the fact that Brendan Rodgers will walk away at the end of his 3 years. A lot of people said that he'll stay. And a lot of people said that he would go. I said, there's no chance. He came out in public and said it didn't work out too well for me the last time. You know, his family go on supporters buses from Belfast and come over. So he's not going to upset that again. He's not going to walk away before the end of the season. I think he's already told the board that he will be away at the end of the season. And then he's played a very good card in the first interview at the beginning of the season when he was asked about his contract situation. And he said, I've got to prove my worth to be here at Celtic. He knew there was a possibility that they would not get into the Champions League. And he knew that that would be a benchmark of him remaining as Celtic manager. And then if he doesn't win the treble, he can turn around and say, well, I didn't get an extended contract because I didn't meet my KPIs and I wasn't successful. He's very clever, Brendan. I think that the football department will circle around Brendan.
I hope so.
I'd like to know where the leakages from the team are coming from, because that is whoever gets on the bus from Lennox Town, there's someone that's on that bus that's leaking the information. It's someone that's close to Peter Lawwell. For me, it's all pointing to John Kennedy. And I just hope that, I mean, people will say I'm probably calling it, speaking at a turn, but it's the way that we do it. You've got to call it as I personally see it, and that's the way that I think. I hope that the football department just really focus on the league and trying to win as much as we can in Scotland. They want to go out and put a performance in Europe. It's not Brendan Rodgers' style to back off in Europe. It's not his style to... He'll not want to go into a European campaign and be humiliated.
No, he won't be.
There's not a chance. He's not going to go out and put, you know, and he's not going to tell the team to not focus on it. I mean, the fans will say, oh, forget about Europe. And it's fine saying that. But the manager can't come out and say that, because then if he comes out and says that, he loses the trust of the players. And then it starts coming out, oh, he's lost the dressing room. You know, and then you'll start getting that kind of nonsense. He's not lost the dressing room. He's not lost it one bit. What he's lost is players haven't lost their respect for Brendan Rodgers, but he now has players that have lost respect for Celtic.
Yes, that's an important distinction.
That's the difference. And people have to think about the players that have been told that they can do things and then they can't. Do you know, Brendan Rodgers getting asked about the Adam Eder situation. I mean, Adam Eder then coming out and saying, I was playing at the weekend. I wasn't going anywhere. So where did this come from? People were saying Adam Eder wanted away. No, I didn't. You know, I was good. And then he comes out with his statement, look, I scored 20 goals last season, and it wasn't enough. Coming off the bench and scoring 20 goals, and it wasn't enough for some people. You know, there's an agenda at Celtic. And I go on about managed decline. And we've done it over certain periods over the years at Celtic. And Brendan, I think, knew that this was going to be a year of managed decline. Get the wage bill down. You know, get the wage bill down. Be successful domestically. A good old Lawwell. You know, we want to conquer Scotland. We want to be dominant in Scotland. And that's why it all rings back to the statement that came directly from Peter Lawwell, if you ask me. Can we be successful this season in Scotland? Yes, we can. There will be everyone in their guns. Everyone that is against Celtic in Scotland in the media have now been given permission to stand on the open firing range and just take aim.
Oh, of course.
And that they are not going to give up until they get a verdict. And whether it's to try and get rid of the manager, have some kind of turmoil, Celtic in crisis headlines to break the momentum of the team. There'll be stories that will come out. We're playing on a Sunday now. You can guarantee there'll be a bad news story comes out about Celtic every Saturday morning now about a player that's wanting away, or there'll be some leakage of information. And the power struggle, I just hope, doesn't affect the players. And I hope that we can just get to... Brendan Rodgers always talks about winning blocks of games.
Yeah.
We've been successful the first block of games in the league. He'll want to continue that. He'll want to keep the players focused on small little achievements. And if he can do that, he can get to the end of the season. I still believe that Brendan Rodgers wants to win a treble and walk away with his hell head high. And I think that that will be his objective. He'll want to stick two fingers up to the board at the end of the season and go, I've done it on... I came back, I was successful, I've done it on my terms, and I want it better for the club. And he will. And I hope that when he does walk away, I hope that he does tell people the truth. That's all I want to have.
that's an interesting point, because the last time he was constrained by non-disclosures and everything else that he had to sign prior to leaving Leicester. But if you walk out at the end of your contract, I don't think you can be compelled to sign anything like that.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Joe, what about you? Are we in trouble domestically? Are we going to have a tough season?
One small point. It's been suggested that before you take up a job, that there'll be a non-disclosure agreement at the end of the contract. So that sounds like a red flag to me. If you're getting welcomed into a company, here's a 3-year contract, here's $3 million a year, and you must sign a non-disclosure at the end of it. So fingers crossed there's no non-disclosure. Domestically, I think we'll know an awful lot at the weekend. If we're still in level terms with Hearts, let's not kid on. Hopefully Hearts win at Ibrox and hopefully we win at Rugby Park and we'll still be in level terms with Hearts. If both teams lose, then there's trouble ahead. But I think the players will be D-mob happy. They've seen the manager shafted this season. They've seen Dyson Maeda shafted. They've seen Stephen Welsh, Yang, Tellio, etc. And there's probably a few others that we don't even know about. So Rodgers will know how bad the COVID season was. He won't want a repeat of that. There's a lot of Celtic supporters warning against that. But I think the fact that those pesky entitled customers will be inside the stadium this season might make that difficult. And on the managed decline, I think that was the plan, but the managed decline has ran out of control. It accelerated ridiculously. Nicholson just couldn't help himself. He was D-mob happy, throwing away players. Adam Eider, MD for Adam Eider, Swansea, deal. On you go, Adam, good boy. Goodbye. So there is a lot of jeopardy in the domestic scene. A treble is not too much to wish for. If we beat Partick Thistle, we're two matches at Hampden away from winning the League Cup. But generally managers would rest players before a big European match. I don't think there's any chance of that happening. I think the strongest Celtic team will be played in the domestic match.
Yep.
And if there's any niggles, any injuries, any doubts, players would play in European matches. So there's six of them before Christmas and then two in January. So he doesn't need to come out and state it. He'll go through all the usual stuff. Yep, it's a great opportunity, exciting matches. We'd love to go far. Everybody knows about 2003 in Seville, blah, blah, blah. But the evidence will be on the team sheet and the priority will be domestic matches. And if we can get a win at Kilmarnock on Sunday, that'll ease things a little bit. The next match is Hibs at home a fortnight later. There's Partick Thistle in between. And I would think Rodgers and the players have got a bit more strength. They can hold their heads high. Yeah. Rodgers and the players could walk along any street in Glasgow and they'd be fine. If Peter Lowe or Michael Nicholson wanted to venture out of their bunker, they might get some adverse reaction. Comments only, but I suspect they'll be lying low just now. It will be unpleasant for them, uncomfortable for them. They know that they don't have any presence other than through their messengers. We know who their messengers are. One of them was the guy that started slaughtering Engels, Trusty and Ida straight after the game at Ibrox in January. Adam Ida's left Celtic.
Straight after the game in January?
Yes.
Those guys were getting slaughtered on the day they signed. This is a step outside of the strategy. Rodgers in total control. We'll see how it goes. Those players were getting slaughtered from the minute we signed them.
On the 3rd of January in the Daily Mail, you can join the dots. He's no longer at the Daily Mail, but he compared Adam Ida's performance at Ibrox to a bin bag blowing about the motorway. Trusty and Engels also got it. Nothing's really been said about the 7 superstar signings from Mark Lowell in the summer of 2023, but it's fair game to have a go at guys that succeeded in last season's Champions League. But I think the players will know the script. Celtic will be desperate to sell them all, we know that. So their agents have got plenty of advance warning. Get a transfer in January. If you can't get a transfer in January, get a transfer next summer. Next summer is going to be horrendous, but there's an awful lot to happen before then. And hopefully the players and the managers got them galvanised and said, the best way that we can answer those inside the club that are undermining us is to go out there and win every weekend, get this league one, and then that's our legacy. So the project manager, possibly with Neil Lennon coming in next summer as director of football, they can go on with trying to win next season's league. Hopefully Rodgers and the players will sign off with 5 in a row.
Yeah.
Joe, I'm assuming you saw the chat about Stephen Robinson. What did you make of that? A good Scottish manager to come in and somebody who understands the transfer market because he bought Bojan Majovski when he was at Aberdeen, apparently. It's proof of genius.
You got names, Matt. You said Stephen Robinson. He's the Irish St Mirren manager.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Oh, Jim Goodwin.
Jim, sorry, I'm having one of those nights. Jim Goodwin. Having one of those nights, guys.
Yeah, I know.
Confused everybody there. Everybody was like, when was this?
But there'll be loads of names. I'm waiting for Mark Wilson to be thrown up. Mark Wilson's got Thistle doing quite well. If they can show up against Celtic,
this is the narrative. This is the narrative. It's not good enough for them to tell us that Rodgers is failing and that Rodgers is doing stuff wrong. Sooner or later, these people need to start drip feeding into their public consciousness why they're going to go for a certain type of manager next. And I just thought that. I thought that the Goodwin story, especially since it came from Michael Gannon in particular, had some fingerprints on it. And it's not the first time I've heard that suggestion.
Michael Gannon's away with the fairies. A couple of weeks ago in the Record, he was on about there'll be £3 or 4 £6 million signings coming to Celtic before the transfer window closes. So I don't think you'd need to whisper much in Michael Gannon's ear for him to go running with it in print. So I'd dismiss that. But there will be the bottom line is Rodgers gets £3 million a year as manager. I'm sure Peter Lowell thinks that's at least £2 million too many. So £1 million is plenty to be playing for paying for a full management team in the SPFL to stay ahead of their Old Firm business partners. So if it's Jim Goodwin, if it's Stephen Robinson, if it's Mark Wilson, Scott Brown, Sean Maloney, they'll be getting nothing like the salary that the current manager's getting. So it'll be interesting. We're aware to look out for it. But as you talked about the stories on a Saturday, in the olden days, that would have mattered because folk would have bought the record in the Sun, and players would have bought the record in the Sun on a Friday night or Saturday morning to see what's going on. But they just need to look at their phone now, and they're getting umpteen messages and the old-fashioned smear stories and bad news. They don't carry the same weight any longer, but it won't stop them from trying. It won't have much of an impact.
I think what astounded me is that there's 30 people in the social media department at Celtic.
I don't believe that would. I don't.
And I thought, really? Yeah. It's like, what are they doing? But anyway, it's. I just think that going forward, I hope it doesn't affect the team too much. You know, the Brendan Rodgers is going to get it every single week. And he's old enough and got the shoulders to deal with it. You know, he's got the mentality to deal with the ridiculous questions that are going to come his way that has nothing to do with the game of football that's in question that weekend. But they'll try and chip away each week. And that's the worry, that it rubs off on the team between the second half of this season. Who are we selling in the next window? You know, the next summer gives me the fear, because if that's the level of manager that's going to come in, we have no ambitions to finish last, to qualify for the last 16 of the Champions League. We will never get that. We will never get so close again as what we did under Brendan Rodgers last year. And that's my fear. And every time that we go through a period of managed decline, it takes us, yes, we could still win the title this year, it's a possibility we might still win it next year, but we'll never get up to the heights where we can even try to attempt to get to the last 16 of the Champions League. You know, never mind talking about even trying to do anything in Europa. And I just think if we go for that type of manager, if we reduce what we're going to pay the manager, that's the biggest wake-up fans that they need. Never mind what's going on at the moment. Just look down the line. And maybe does Brendan Rodgers, there's plenty of managers that come out and say, yeah, I'm leaving at the end of the season. They usually do it after Christmas or something. You know, once the transfer window opens up and it's the last 6 months of contract when players should be sold at the last part of the winter window because there's 6 months left on their contract. Then it will intensify on Brent. The pressure will intensify even more at that period. And if we haven't done incredibly well in Europe, which I doubt that we will do, the negativity of the connotation of the focus of the media spotlight on Brendan will be huge. And then that's when things could start to crumble.
You know, the season of his career by far, this is going to be.
And it's, Dyes Meyder looks as if he'll be away the next window. Yang will definitely be away the next window. And it's a case of what other players are going to be away. You know, it's like we have reduced the squad quite considerably over the last 2.5 months. And when you look at it, it's going to be an interesting season because I think that we've just let them in the back door. And thank goodness that we're a good few points ahead of them because they will come good at some point. They can't have a bad season all season.
You've actually reminded me of something I wanted to ask you to use. Celtic's statement. If you, and we've all went through it with a fine tooth comb, and there is not a single word in there, not one, in support of the manager, not one. The story that Rodgers has been briefed against by somebody inside Celtic, by a senior Celtic figure, is so explosive that it's all the Hacks are going to want to talk about on Wednesday.
Yep.
So if that story was in any way untrue, the club would have denied it already. The club would have been threatening to sue people at the Sun. Some of them been banned from press conferences hereafter. The fact that Brendan doesn't even get a mention in the statement, far less any expression of support, is pretty damned shocking, isn't it?
Yeah.
Joe, what about you?
Well, in the statement that was going on about the nasty mainstream media, but
it, yeah, it was, no, yeah.
It made no reference to the story about Brendan Rodgers morning. So it's an interesting standoff because there's some people say the Sun made it up. The Sun makes a few things up. They did not make that up. That is 100% certainty. It's strange that Roger Hanna never asked the Celtic insider, what is the strategy? Is the strategy to do well in Europe?
Let's pick something up first, because what I thought was the worst thing about the whole thing and the most gutless thing about it was a Celtic source told our source. So it was done third hand, an anonymous third hand assassination attempt on the manager. That's what was really pathetic about it. The Celtic source didn't talk to Roger Hanna. The Celtic source talked to someone else who talked to Roger Hanna. It's absolutely pathetic.
I mean, it's like you're being down the pub and say, oh, my best mate just came home from a party and he heard this.
Yeah.
And really? Yeah.
And so whoever the Roger Hanna source was, is somebody with enough credibility that they could go to Roger Hanna and say, a Celtic director told me this?
There is no doubt whatsoever that came from someone high up inside Celtic. The Celtic chief executive knew about it. The Celtic chairman knew about it. So I hope Brendan Rodgers calls the Sun out. A few folk have highlighted the issue of slaughtering a former Liverpool manager through the Sun. That would be lost on most of the people inside Celtic Park.
Yeah.
Unless there was some sort of charity deal coming up where they'd need to don their Liverpool scarf. So I suppose the people at Liverpool, people at Anfield, won't be best pleased with that. But that's a side issue. I hope Rodgers confronts it and takes it on. Don't pretend it didn't exist. And if there's nothing from Celtic before the media conference on Friday, if there's no correction of that, if there's no action taken against the Sun, then it confirms all our suspicions. It's a 100% story. And someone senior inside Celtic, with the approval of the chief executive, is trying to slaughter the manager. So interesting times.
There's a point, mate. If the Sun's even in the room, that confirms the story's legit.
Yeah.
The Sun shouldn't even get near that room if that story's invented in their house.
Yeah.
They
were at the charity match on Saturday. If there was any doubt about when the Sun reporter turned up to sign in for Saturday's match, they said, sorry, mate, you're not in today, no pass. And he could have been in, he could have played the martyr, could have paid to go in and watch the game, they could get pictures and all this, that. The Sun's banned by Celtic. That's a big story, but no, they're scratching each other's backs. I'm surprised Roger Hanna doing it. I thought he was a little bit above that. I didn't think he'd be getting used like that. I could see plenty of others getting used like that. Plenty of others that have miraculously getting scoop upon scoop on Celtic, almost on a rota. But Roger Hanna's not been getting those stories in the past, so why he was chosen for that one is a bit of a mystery. But as you say, the Sun will be at the media conference on Friday, and that will confirm everything.
What about you, mate? Baz?
It's like I said at the beginning, we're at a stage on Monday night where we sit and we wait on the outcome of the meeting on Wednesday. They will then put out something on the Thursday, which will get Brendan Rodgers getting asked even more difficult questions about not only what's happened in the last week, not only about the vote of no confidence, about the fans being against and Celtic thinking that there's not anything, there's no friction between the board and the fans, according to the board. We're all lovey-dovey. And Friday's going to be a laugh.
Is it tenable for Rodgers to go into that press conference and say, I don't want to answer any questions on this stuff, I want to talk about football and none else?
It won't get to.
Do you know
the way that works? The first question is always, how's the players, how's the teams, are they fit or unfit? And that's the sweetener. It's got to be a football question. And then they get that in, and then it's like, I've got your attention, what about this? And it's the way that always happens. And then you get 15, 18 minutes of follow-up questions to do with one said subject. And it's going to be a case of various subjects. And Brendan is going to, it's, the briefing that Brendan will have before is would be, I'd love to be a fly in the wall for that one. I'd absolutely be, I'd love to be a fly in the wall. Because it's a case of, I mean, does he come out? He can't come out from an employment point of view. He can't come out and say what I think he would love to say.
Correct.
But he's very clever at wording things in a way where in a week's time we might actually realise what he was talking about.
You know? Rodgers also has to tread the fine line and not want to burn the whole house down.
Yes, exactly.
I'm sure that Rodgers is the only, by the way, Rodgers seems to be
the only one who seems
concerned by that.
Yeah, at this point, Brendan Rodgers is the super glue that's holding this together.
Agreed.
And if he shows any weakness, which he won't, if he shows weakness, the media will jump on it. If he shows any weakness that there's any disharmony within the squad, they jump on it. You know, there's so many things, and Brendan will go into it and say, look, we are fine as a football department, and the players, they're all focused, they're all in the same frame of mind, you know, they're all ready for the game this weekend. They're not even listening to any of the nonsense that's going on outside. And I think that that's what Brendan Rodgers will say on Friday.
When he gets asked questions about transfers, etc., etc.,
yeah,
just say, get in touch with your colleague at The Sun.
Yeah,
they've got an insider at Celtic Park that knows everything that's going on. Don't ask me. They'll tell you everything because he shouldn't be discussing it. I mean, these folk, they asked Rodgers, why don't they doorstep Michael Nicholson? Wait for him outside Rugby Park on Sunday when he gets off the bus, ask him what's going on. And if he says nothing, then he says nothing. And then after that, it's Fir Hill, then it's Zagreb. When it's at Celtic Park, he's got to park in the car park. He's got to walk from the car park into the front door. So instead of going round the houses, asking Rodgers questions in 100 different varieties, they all take their instructions from someone inside Celtic. So it's time for them to start asking questions. The manager has been, before and after every match this season, he's been getting grilled on it one way or another. He really should draw a line and just say, ask your colleague at The Sun, he's got the answers, or doorstep Michael Nicholson before the next match. He's got to leave a vehicle and he's got to go in a front door. Position yourself somewhere in between. You're all journalists. As John Paul Damson of Malmo says, you're smart guys. You know how to get in touch. Get in touch. Get in front of Michael Nicholson. Get an answer from Michael Nicholson and stop pestering the manager about things that are out with his control.
Yeah.
You know what Michael Nicholson needs to happen? He needs the BBC to call him up and invite him onto that Saturday night football show that they do. And if he refuses, you just put an empty chair there and say, the Celtic chief executive did not wish to make a statement or join us. And they should do that every single week until he's in that chair. The media's let us down here as well. The media should have been on.
I've been saying that.
The guy is now on 1,355 days without saying a single word to them as well as us. He's never sat down and given an interview. The chief executive of Celtic should have been absolutely mercilessly hounded for this by the media before now. They seem very content for this farce to continue. And he should be, and it shouldn't, and you're right, Joe, you should just don't stop the guy. Somebody should. Somebody in the mainstream media should be on top of this guy all the time now. Because let's be honest, right? There are two separate strands here. There is Celtic and there is the Celtic board. The press is going to enjoy itself with Celtic in crisis headlines, but it's not strictly true. The Celtic board is in crisis. Celtic as a club isn't in crisis. The team isn't in crisis. The manager isn't in crisis. The Celtic board is.
Until our first drop points of the season after the derby.
Hopefully not for a long time. Because you're right, Rodgers is good at getting the players to look at blocks of games and win those blocks of games, and that's how he's got to look at it. Just keep your eyes on the prize. Stay focused on what's in front of us. All the stuff around us, not any day with us. We're the players, we're the coaches, we're just focused on winning the games, and hopefully that is enough. But as far as the board is concerned, this was the weekend where it tipped for being a possible protest movement into a movement for change.
Yeah.
And there's a sort of online argument that I'm having with a few people about what about who gives the owners of a football club their mandate. Well, it's very simple. A football club is not like another business. It's not like a normal organisation. The mandate comes from the supporters, and it does not come from buying tickets. It comes from the genuine belief among the fans that the board represent the best interests of the club and that they are working in the best interests of the club. And when so many fan organisations have passed no confidence motions and so many are on the brink of passing no confidence motions, the mandate is gone. And when the mandate's gone, the legitimacy is gone with it. And that's where we are right now. They have a crisis of legitimacy, and few organisations survive that. There are a lot of people who are going to say they hold all the power and they hold all the shares. But when you don't have a mandate and you're exercising that power, that is illegitimate. And that does not end well. It never has. It never will. And that's what they're going to have to realise. The gig is up. If the fan groups overwhelmingly support the full no confidence motion on Wednesday, then the only thing left to be decided is how these people go, because that is what will happen.
Agreed, but we're on the hour, James. We've got a special guest on tonight. We won't be back again till next Monday, 6:30. Baz will be bombed out. Eric will be back. But Baz, tell us what you'll be doing on your YouTube channel through the course of this week, so folks can tune in.
Tomorrow morning, I'll be live at 9 o'clock Celtic Park time, where we'll be analysing, obviously, what's happened in the last 24 hours and what could potentially happen with going forward. And any timeline, because I think now it is all going to be about timing, because whatever happens at boardroom level has to happen either before the next transfer window, before Brendan Rodgers leaves next summer. There has to be some kind of timeline. And I think that after Wednesday, I think we'll get closer to knowing when a target timeline will be, because we can't go into the next window not knowing who's running the transfer department. And if it's Paul Disdale and the disaster that he is, I think that there has to be not only a clear out of the three monkeys at the top table. I think that Tisdale, Dunno, and other people have to be questioned about the quality of the player that they're giving to the manager. And if the manager is to leave at the end of the season, when does that statement be released, and when is then the timeline for a new manager to come into the club? Mm-hmm. Because not only are you going to have new people coming into the club to run the business side of it, but they are then going to have to determine who the next manager is. So there's a lot at play and there's a lot at risk over the next six months anyway.
There's no Ange Postecoglou on the horizon, and whoever they're approaching to be the next manager, the first thing they're going to do is phone Brendan Rodgers and say, what's it like there, Brendan? So good luck with that. That's why we're going to end up with Mark Wilson, Jim Goodwin, Sean Maloney, Scott Brown. I'll pass back to James to sign us off for this week.
Thank you very much for having me on, guys.
It was good of you to come on, mate. Thanks for coming on. Signing off. We have been accused of being the glass half full guys, ourselves and a few others. Joe's got his glass as ever.
Mine's is empty.
What I think might be the most remarkable thing about Celtic's statement on Saturday is that it made every single one of the points that we've been trying to make for a long, long time. The strategy is regressive rather than progressive. It's to aim low. It's to buy cheap. It's cautious. It is risk averse in every possible sense, except in that it does in fact subject us to massive risks and enormous consequences when it fails, as it has five times in a row in qualifiers. I mean, you could not have written a better critique of this board than the one that they issued in their own defence. Every single thing that we said, every single concern we've expressed, they have expressed in full as the stated policy of the club. So when we're talking here about Jim Goodwin's or whomever managers of that being in Celtic's dugout next season, we are not kidding. We are not being alarmist. The club has told you in the clearest possible terms that they consider that an acceptable future. And if we don't want that future, we are going to have to change the course that we are on. And if the board will not do it, then we are going to have to change them. That's where we are. This is, if you love Celtic and you're passionate about the club, and I'm sure all of us are, then we are, it's make a choice time, unfortunately. It's make a choice time. Because the future of this club is either going to go one way or it's going to go another. We either let this board of directors conduct this little experiment to see if it can make Moneyball work with a cheap domestic-based manager and low ambition, and we're going to have to push to make this club everything it can be. But those are our options, because the board has explicitly said this is the plan. We are not exaggerating. We are not being alarmist. They have told us that this is their thinking. And on this, I believe them 100%. We are in a bad, bad place, and we are not going to get there by praying that the rain goes off. We're going to have to do something about it.
On that note?
On that note, I think we're done. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Cheers.